Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 17th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And it also should be noted that we are convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we absolutely still have at our fingertips. It is about peaceful revolution and the rejection. I'm sorry, it's about peaceful restoration and the rejection of revolution. Let's make it very clear what our agenda is, who we are, what we're doing, why we're on the radio. You know, a lot of people want revolution. A lot of people want to divide this country. We simply want to unite us together. Maybe not in agreement on everything, but certainly in a civility idea. And we want to work together to restore the country based on the principles that have worked for over the last couple of hundred years. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. We had on James Edwards for both hours. He's a talk show host in his own right. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. Dear friend, great commentator, great host. He does a radio program that deals with race, politics, and hypocrisy in 21st century America. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. And we broke down a lot of stories related to race. Sad, but we have to talk about this because they're literally forcing critical race theory into our children's indoctrination and into the indoctrination of people and companies and schools and, I mean, everywhere in our society, they're literally doubling down on this dishonest critical race theory lie. All right? So we talked about the moderate pastor, Ed Litton, I guess is how you say his name, to head the Southern Baptist Church. Has it become the irrelevant, feckless church now? I don't know, but they kicked James Edwards out. In fact, because his pastor wouldn't jettison James, they literally kicked out the whole congregation. So James knows a little bit about this topic. The Southern Baptists, in my opinion, jettisoning conservative viewpoints and, well, not really standing up against the dishonesty in the culture war. We talked about comedian Kevin Hart doesn't care about cancel culture. I say the truth always wins. Amen to that. We also talked about Charles Barkley blasted TNT bosses over cancel culture. We talked about North Korean defector slams woke U.S. schools. I don't know how to say her name, but her last name is Park. Anyway, Mrs. Park said she viewed the United States as a country of free thought and free speech. Until she went to college in America, she attended Columbia University. She was immediately struck by what she viewed as anti-Western sentiment in the classroom. Can you believe that, folks? It's a sad tale to tell. North Korean defector slams America going, wow, you guys aren't the land of the free like I thought. We also talked about our restaurant dress codes racist. Yeah, are they outdated and racist? Many have been saying for a long time that dress codes are implicitly racist and attack people of color. This is USA Today. This is why we got to talk about these things, because I'm telling you, they're literally forcing this down our throats. Yeah. We also talked about the NBA Hawks legend, Dominique Wilkins, says he was denied service because he was black. Atlanta restaurant apologizes. Was he really discriminated against because he was black? See, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not for discrimination, but I believe people have the right to discriminate. If you don't like someone in your restaurant, it's a private business, you should be able to say and do what you want. I get that it's not right. I get that I would never do it. I get, and they say, oh, Sam, you're just white privileged, and so you don't even understand. Oh, yeah? Well, I happen to be a blind person, totally blind, and I do understand. I've had guide dogs in the past, and people will not let me in their restaurants with my guide dog. Or sometimes, you know, people don't want to treat you fairly. I mean, I've literally been in a restaurant, and they'll look at somebody with me, and they'll say, does he want water? And I'll just smile and go, yes, he does. to kind of demonstrate to them a little bit. But at the same time, I've experienced this kind of stuff. I understand what it's like to be discriminated against, and it's not fun. I get it. But I also get that people have the right to think and believe the way they do. We don't need to force by law mandates. What we need to do is educate people to the truth. A little bit of patience, a little bit of understanding, a little bit of respect, and a lot of voting with your dollars can go a long way, folks. Anyway, that was hour one with James Edwards. Hour two, we talked about Attorney General Merrick Garland claims white supremacy is the greatest violent extremist threat. It's the greatest domestic extremist threat that we'll face. Yeah, in the FBI view, the racially or ethnically driven white supremacist is the greatest threat. The anti-government sentiment is the second greatest threat. So the Biden administration literally putting together all kinds of plans and a four-step process to deal with all of us. Garland further dishonestly claims the two most lethal elements of today's domestic terrorism threat are one, racial or ethnically violent extreme white supremacists. Wow. They advocate for the superiority of the white race, he claims. Number two, wow. Anti-government or anti-government violent extremists such as militias. This is where they're dishonest, because you might believe that you love your race and you're white and you want to advocate for that like other races do, but that doesn't mean that you're violent or extreme or dangerous or harmful or hate-filled towards anybody else. This is where they put together scare words to deceive the people. But this agenda is going to attack white Christians everywhere, folks. The Biden administration is out of control. For example, R. John Stevens, the owner of Maple Grove Farms in Minnesota, is now suing the Biden administration over a farmer's loan forgiveness program. They're only forgiving minorities. And he's saying, hey, why should we have a loan forgiveness that's only available to minority farmers? What's up with that? That's racist as all get out. There's a new poll out, by the way. 4 in 5 Americans would prefer offensive and even inaccurate speech over censorship. Only a small fraction wants the government to decide these things. So most Americans realize the truth on free speech. There's a difference, though, in knowing the truth and standing up for it. They better start to stand or they're going to lose it. I'm telling you that right now. All right, I guess the Senate passes bill declaring Juneteenth a federal holiday. What a shame that is. I mean, it's supposed to be the Emancipation or the Freedom of the Slaves Day. But the sad part about it all is none of us own slaves. The only slaves now I know in America are those who are slaves to the IRS. That's all of us. 99% increase in chicken wings. Yeah, restaurant owner places blame and says, hey, man, this is out of control. Well, it's true. We're starting to have inflation everywhere. But the good news is the price of building supplies, the price of wood is indeed going down. So there is hope. And we're grateful for that. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. Still available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Share live and on-demand radio free at your fingertips with your loved ones and friends and neighbors and everybody you can. And donate liberally while you're there. Every penny can help us grow our presence in the media. Eldon Stahl with us. He is the field coordinator for my area for the John Birch Society. JBS.org and newamerican.com is the websites. Welcome back, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Sam. Great to be here.
Man, there's so much to talk about. We're going to have Brian Rust up in a second talking about honest money. I always think it's appropriate to have the two of you on at the same time, because if there's ever been an advocate of money for the longest period of time in America, it's been the John Birch Society.
Yeah, certainly honest money is something that we need. That's Lenin, actually, he said that inflation was a great way to confiscate the wealth of the people secretly and unobserved.
And the people kind of panic in the meantime, too. I mean, it literally controls economies. It controls buying and selling decisions. It literally can make or break what we do in our lives. And it literally disrupts prosperity.
Yeah, very much so. If you've seen any countries familiar with history of countries that have experienced inflation, that's a very significant thing.
There you have it. Wow. Sad tale to tell, I'll tell you that with regards to honest money. Just to kind of set up what we'll be talking about today with Eldon Stahl for the next couple of hours, we'll talk about money, of course, with Brian Rust, RustQuinnGift.com. We're also going to talk about Save Our Children. We'll get into this in detail. It's a special issue of The New American. The New American covers news on politics, economy, culture, and more, based on the U.S. Constitution so that freedom shall not perish. TheNewAmerican.com, and it is really one of the premier magazines still left in America today. Most magazines are going belly up. The New American, not even close. More people are subscribing and depending on the solid reporting from The New American. It's online as well as in magazine form, but TheNewAmerican.com. We're also going to talk about Fauci's lies and emails that were published proving his lies. We're also going to talk about the New American. Well, I should say the JBS. Literally 60th year anniversary. Vindicated over time, to say the least. I mean, if anybody can say I told you so, it's JBS. Eldon, Brian, and Sam in seconds.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl on your radio. Brian Rust, unavailable right now. He might have had a conflict, and we'll get back with him as soon as we possibly can. Oh, Brian Rust with us now. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be with you.
And welcome to the heat wave, my brother.
Yeah,
headline,
no doubt.
Basically, for Utah, Salt Lake City's ties all-time heat wave record. What do you say to that, Brian?
Well, we're on fire, so pull a little ice out of your freezer and, or maybe take an ice bath. Maybe one of those ice baths might help each day.
Wow, it's crazy. They say it hit 107 degrees. It tied an all-time record. There's fires everywhere. The West is heating up like you've never seen before. I mean, it is crazy town. They say this, Salt Lake City had a sweltering 107 degrees. And I guess on Tuesday, it tied the all-time hottest temperature ever recorded in the city's history. They say it's part of a mid-June heat wave that's already shattered scores of records since Sunday. This is serious, man. We got a massive drought. Water levels are at all-time lows. People are starting to freak out. People are praying for rain. This is serious business, Brian.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We're definitely in a drought. We've been in a drought for quite a long time, and then, you know, maybe the major heat is a result of what the Fed Powell his statements and stuff, kind of thing. Maybe that has something to do with why we're on fire.
Eldon, do you want to chime in on this one? Have you seen a heat wave like this before?
Oh, Eldon? How's that?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Sounds great.
Not like we haven't had heat waves before. It's not something that's new, but certainly it seems like every time something like this comes up, you think, oh, boy, this is the end of the world, and we're all going to die, and we all better watch these maybe Hawaiian islands sink into the sea again, or I don't know what.
But, that's right.
It is unpleasant though when it does go on. I feel for the especially the roofers, anybody that's installing insulation,
yeah,
anything that's outdoors. Yeah, it's a pretty tough time.
Yeah, to me, the kind of interesting thing is it's shattering all kinds of records since Sunday. It's the hottest ever it's been. Now, here's the interesting thing. What the climate change folks are going to do is say, hey, the whole West is heating up. The reason you have the drought and everything else is climate change. And they're going to use this to press their government-controlled narrative on climate change. I would turn back to God Almighty personally and say, you know what? The reason it's this way is because we're not paying attention to God. And he's trying to wake us up. Pretty soon there'll be a famine in the land if we're not careful. And that'll be a real wake-up call. So really, to me, calling a spade is what's needed here. I don't think we ought to melt down and panic, but I do think we ought to acknowledge the real reasons for things and take on their dishonest narrative that wants to be used to control us all. Brian?
Yeah, I think you're right on, Sam. I think, you know they're going to push that agenda. You know, and I think peace of mind is preparation there again, right? I mean, if we're prepared with food and other things, because, you know, obviously the heat can affect, you know, crops or, you know, or other things that are going on. So I think if we're doing our homework and kind of putting away things so that we're not, panic mode type thing when things get tighter or it gets harder to perhaps purchase items that we desire, we can kind of get into that mode of, what was it, 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of not any, I guess, and so that's kind of part of the key, but. Don't buy into their agenda.
Yes, indeed. Eldon, what do you think of that assertion on my part?
Well, we certainly don't need more people saying that we need more government control just because it heats up.
The way they want it is, you know, all good things happen, got to have government. All bad things happen, got to have government. Too hot, got to have government. Too cold, got to have government.
Right.
Just right temperature, got to have government. Got to have government. And that's really their narrative to everything. And we got to jettison that. And we got to have other explanations and answers for things. Why is this happening? You think God just, are we deists where we just think God set up the, timer and just, wound up the world and then just kind of walked away? Or do you believe that he's involved in our affairs today? You see, Benjamin Franklin happened to believe that, hey, God is involved in the rise of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we need his aid, we need his support, we need his involvement. And the best way to get that is to keep the commandments of God, in my humble opinion. And it's just a part of the equation that we can't leave out of the mix. Now, we don't need to dig into the keys to theology where we might disagree or have different viewpoints, but to acknowledge something greater than government is the author and provider of liberty is important to kind of understand. Well, the reason I bring this up and focus so much on it in detail is the same thing is going to happen with the economy. Brian, before we get into that, where's gold sitting?
Gold on the paper market is sitting at 1785.60.
1785.60, got it. Okay. And how about silver?
Silver's $26.38.
What was it?
38.
It's down. Both of them are down, aren't they?
Yeah, gold's about $100 down from last week on paper. Silver's about $1.57. And, you know, it's interesting to watch, you know, these markets. I call it kind of a little weeding out because, you know, the Fed, Powell, he said now we're seeing a lot of economic strength. You know, you kind of brought that on, and what was it a couple weeks ago? It was economic hardship. And so they kind of leverage these things, and by their words, they have a, you know, ability to kind of turn this market upside down or wherever and kind of a weeding out. Okay, well, if you're into the metals and you're watching and you're buying and then you're saying, oh, gosh, it's really dropping. Kind of like the stock exchange, you know, they kind of play that game with the paper, and that's what they do here, too, because of paper, and instead of looking at kind of real factors and so on. So, yeah, that's kind of what we're looking at today. It's that yo-yo effect that they're pounding and trying to boost up that almighty dollar.
And I find it interesting that what they say, too, matters even in Bitcoin. So Elon Musk basically said, we're not going to start, you know, having Bitcoin in our car manufacturing company, you can't use Bitcoin anymore because it costs too much. It's too environmentally unfriendly to mine Bitcoins. The electricity is just too crazy. And so we're not going to take them until you find a better way to do cleaner energy. So even Bitcoin is kind of melted down on the word of an Elon Musk, just one guy over climate change viewpoints. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And no doubt about it. I mean, it seems like these big leaguers or whatever their names get out there and then they have an ability to really make, it's kind of like the movie star, man. We idolize these movie stars and boy, whatever they say, the Golden Globe Awards, they get up there on the stage and use that as an agenda to say certain things. And boy, we want to grab onto that because, hey, these are our idols. We've seen them in the movies. They're perfect people. Yeah. Well, then we come to find out we don't need to get into all their stories, but yeah, it's not the truth. So,
yeah, there you have it. Eldon, what do you say to that? They're literally even tying that, our economy, to climate change and the word of one man, Elon Musk. Now, I'm not saying he's not a rich man or, you know, whatever, popular man, but man, one guy saying, I don't really want to use Bitcoin anymore at my company because, hey, it's tied to the climate change. You're abusing the climate. Stop it. Let's get cleaner energy. Until then, we won't take Bitcoin. And it literally tanks the currency.
Yeah, Elon Musk, certainly people pay attention to him, and he's done a good number of things, or, you know, kind of smart in a lot of ways, but of course he does have kind of a bias for, what would you say, government subsidies for certain industries and things, and he's made some money that way, so it's kind of not surprising he would say that, but sometimes I think people need to take what certain people say and understand what their influences are in the background rather than just kind of falling for it.
It's very scary. And to me, kind of the issue is, and the reason I bring it up is because they're starting to tie the economy to climate change really false narratives in both. You got dishonesty with climate change. You got government regulation and rules due to climate change. You put that together with dishonest money and you go, oh boy, here it comes. Mm-hmm. You better prepare now, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that. Wow. All right. Sam Bushman, Brian Rust, RustCreditGift.com, Eldon Stahl with us, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, TheNewAmerican.com on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
At Wednesday's summit between Russia and the United States, Russian President Vladimir Putin brought to light the political persecution of protesters who took to Capitol Hill on January 6th. Putin told reporters in Geneva, political freedoms in Russia, in comparison to the United States, appear to be equally restricted. Putin also pointed out hundreds of Capitol protesters have been subjected to arbitrary detention, while Ashley Babbitt, who he referred to as a non-threatening woman, was shot dead point-blank range by Capitol Police. Putin argued these arrests are a violation of basic human rights. China has successfully launched the Shenzhou 12, its first manned mission in 5 years, to its new space station. Shenzhou 12, meaning Divine Vessel, lifted off Thursday from northwest China. After entering orbit, the spaceship conducted a rendezvous and docking with the in-orbit Chinese space station. This is USA Radio News.
UFOs are back in the news, and even the military can't explain these strange UFOs intercepting our ships and planes. Are they a sign of something real, dangerous, or even biblical? Now, Rob Schmidt takes a look at the biggest mystery of our time. Rob's special series, UFOs, Are They Really Here?, airs all this week on Newsmax. Tune in to Rob Schmidt tonight on Newsmax, now on all major cable systems. It's already the fourth largest cable news channel. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. Or get Newsmax for free on your smart TVs, Roku, Zumo, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, or more. And don't forget to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and start watching now. So find out the latest on UFOs with Rob Schmidt and check out Newsmax tonight. It's real news for real people.
Experts believe Russian hacking will continue against the United States as no deterrence were achieved by President Biden's European summits. Dan Naraki reports.
One of the subjects that was expected to be discussed at Wednesday's summit between President Biden and Russian President Putin was a recent series of cyber attacks against American companies that originated in Russia. But former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia, Evelyn Farkas, doesn't think that Russia will do anything about them. She tells CNBC the meeting likely won't motivate Russia to stop hacking.
Well, it's not enough, certainly, to tell them to stop. We've had other presidents try that approach. First of all, there are Russian state-sponsored cyber attacks. So the things that they've done, hacking and weaponizing information and getting involved in our elections in 2016 and then 2020 using disinformation, those things the Russian state can stop very quickly. I don't expect them to do that unless, again, we provide they lash out at us and then we provide a proportional reaction.
USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Ellen Stahl, JBS.org, TheNewAmerican.com, Brian Rust, RustQuinnigan.com. For over 50 years, the Rust family has been putting together education on gold and silver and honest money discussions and helping you know what's good and bad and what not to do and what's real and what's fake and take possession of your physical gold and silver. And here's how you do it. And here's how you navigate that complicated arena of coins. RustCoinAndGift.com doing a phenomenal job. Honest Money Report, gold down. 1785.60 silver, 2638. The interesting thing is that that's on paper, but the reality is, what's it looking like when you really want to purchase something? Are we still at $40+ for a Silver Eagle, Brian?
Yeah, Silver Eagle's sitting around that $40 range, and everything's still maintaining the solid, the physical. You know, it's interesting. You know, I guess if you go back, you know, since 71, both government big banks have this love-hate relationship with gold. You know, if the public holds it, you know, that's a threat to their paper money system, right? But if they secretly hold it in their vaults, you know, that's okay, you know. And it's interesting. If they felt like it wasn't, you know, what it should be, then why would they have large holdings of gold in their vaults? It makes no sense. I mean, you know, but yet the people, they don't want the people to hold it. And that's why I say kind of a weeding out. They try to, you know, these spikes up and down to try to weed out people that, oh gosh, it's dropping, I got to get out of this thing before I lose all my money. Well, that's kind of that weed out. But, yep, they seem to keep adding to their holdings, so it's interesting.
Amen to that. Eldon, what do you say to that?
Yeah, really, they know the power of gold, don't they? It's something that they can't deny. So certainly, it's kind of like, I don't know, guns, right? Mao, he always said, we need to disarm the civilian population, but the party needs to have the control of guns, because that's the key to political power. Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. So it's right. Very similar with gold and silver.
Amen to that. G7 nations filed a joint statement calling for a timely investigation into the origins of COVID-19 in China on Sunday. Very interesting. They've been telling us that we're nuts to give our views on the origins of the coronavirus, etc. We said it came from a lab. They said you guys are nothing but conspiracy theorists. Now they're doubling down, admitting evidence points to the fact that we're right, and now they want to push for an investigation. The global bodies don't want to do it. China lying through their teeth. And now the G7 nations are pushing for it. But even if they get an investigation into it, I don't trust it, Eldon.
Yeah, often these investigations, are controlled. You can only ask certain questions. You can only have certain witnesses, certain people involved to ask those questions. And then the report is kind of this thing that's designed to cover up. It's unfortunate, kind of a cynical way of looking at it, but looking at what happened with, of course, the Warren report is the classical one, but maybe the 9/11 report might be another example of that.
Yeah, it's very concerning when they all start to say that globally a year after they locked us down and controlled our lives and destroyed the economies and destroyed businesses, and they've done all that they've done. And now they're going to say we want to look into the origins a year later after calling us nuts for a year, lying through their teeth, and now they're the ones that are going to investigate, Brian?
Yeah, that raises a lot of questions. But, you know, it seems like it's been that way for, you know, the big government basically seems to do it that way so they can get their kind of people that they want in place to kind of, look at the situation at hand and then come out with their results, and it seems like their results don't ever seem to match the truth that really went on. You know, it's kind of like when you were interviewing people at the Capitol, you had people on your show who were right there, firsthand witnesses, but boy, that's not how they saw it, and then how what they reported, and then they had their lies, and even, to impeach Trump, they had right there in that court lies and so on as a result. So, yeah, it's just the way of that agenda, I guess. Not a guess, it is.
Eldon?
Yeah, right. A lot of times these things end up being spin control. Trying to put your own spin on something when obviously now they've been caught red-handed, you might say, and now they've got to go back and say, well, okay, let's investigate this and try to rewrite history.
Right.
Well, this relates to Fauci's lies in the emails, and this is kind of why I have the problem with this. You've got Fauci, the leader, at least, when it comes to the discussions on the cocoa in America. He literally lied. He covered up for China. He claims he knew all along that it probably came from a lab, but he let everybody call us conspiracy theorists, and he let the narrative about the animal-to-human transfer and all this kind of stuff continue, even though he knew different. Now he's saying he knew all along, and he always had an open mind, and he didn't have an open mind when the whole nation was called. Anybody who believed that it came from a lab or whatever was a conspiracy theorist, and the mainstream press slaughtered all of us and lied through their teeth, and Fauci just sat back and smiled and helped them peddle their narrative, and he claims he knew all along, and he claims that he had an open mind. And this guy's a criminal. So you got that guy in America, but then who else can you trust around the world? And so now you got this scenario where, on one hand, the G7's calling to look into the origins of the coronavirus. They should have been doing that over the last year. But now the WHO, the World Health Organization, says that the Delta variant of the coronavirus is spreading rapidly. It's now in 80 countries. So we might not even have seen the end of this yet. Eldon?
Well, right now what the people need to do is say, no more of this. You fooled me once, but don't fool. You're not going to fool me twice. We've seen so much deception going on. And in the name of all of that propaganda, we've upended our lives and closed down businesses and in some cases arrested pastors, thrown them in jail in different parts of the world. And, you know, where does this end? It's not going to end unless we insist that it ends. And we just say, no, we're going to start impeaching governors. We're going to start removing health officers. We're going to stand up against this because this is just, it's intolerable. These are the intolerable acts of our day.
Brian, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, it's this civil unrest. I mean, it's almost like we're fighting against ourselves. Or here's people that we voted in, per se, I guess, in the government, and they're not for the people. They're for their agendas and world agendas or whatever it may be. But they elect or they bring forth here's the expert, Fauci being the expert. So they throw him up there. And he continues to lie. So we keep looking at it as the people and saying, well, what the heck's going on? I mean, and then we try to, you know, it's frustrating because then we, you know, the politicians up there say, well, you can do something about it. You go vote and you get these people in. And then we find out that they were the voter fraud. And then, we're fighting amongst ourselves, our leadership in our country. And it's really a sad situation. And we're seeing it kind of unravel. But it's a tough process. And we keep forging ahead. And hopefully at some point we can, you know, get back to where we need to be and weed out all this, corruption.
Now check out this headline. Eldon, I want you to respond to this first, then Brian can respond as well. So not only is the Delta variant of the COVID spreading now, it's in 80 countries. Not only did Fauci lies and emails published prove it, not only are the G7 nations now saying we've got to find out the origins of the coronavirus, but here's the next headline. Nearly 40% of small businesses closed since the first COVID-19 case in the United States. Think about that. Nearly 40% of small businesses are gone. And I think that we're having businesses fail more and more now. I know some people are saying the economy's recovering. And to some degree it may be, but I think that eventually, at the end of the day, you'll have 50% of small businesses flat out fail. The rest are on life support or struggling in many ways. Eldon first.
Well, first of all, that phenomenon, that serves the interests of those that want power over us. It serves the interest of these multinational big corporations, which people say are the great capitalists. Many of them are in bed with the government, wanting some variant of socialism because it protects their bottom line,
When we get back, we'll tie this to socialism and racism, and I'll explain how. Brian Rust will respond as well in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Eldon Stahl with me, Brian Rust. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about the, COVID business meltdown. Literally, small businesses are melting down over the COVID virus response. See, I don't think it's the COVID virus that caused it. I think it's the response of government to shut everybody down has caused it, ladies and gentlemen. Nearly 40% of small business has closed since the first COVID-19 case in the United States. Now, listen to this, though. More than 100,000 small businesses have closed forever as the nation's pandemic toll escalates. And it turns out that it's racist and socialism being forced on the nation. Let me explain. The socialism is forced because everybody needs a handout to keep their business afloat. Because if you're shut down and not allowed to do business, then they take away your, well, they smash your bread bowl is the best way to describe it, right? And so the problem is that everybody's become a socialist by force, almost. You can't not take the money or you go under, but you can't bring in the money because they won't let you, right? And now you say, well, don't worry, Sam, we're opening back up. Yeah, but the damage is already done. 100,000 businesses closed. Many of them, most of them will never reopen. The other ones are struggling right now with less employees, etc. Well, it turns out that black businesses are hit by far the hardest. So now it's not only a socialist discussion, but it's almost a forced racist discussion. Black businesses shutting down at a way larger rate than other businesses. Eldon?
Well, isn't it a coincidence that basically the government acts as if socialism is the cure to this very overblown threat of a pandemic, which I don't even think even the word pandemic is appropriate, really, at least as it's been used in history, historically. That should be very telling to us. Why is it that that is the case? Well, to me, it seems like you have to ask who has to gain from all of this. And certainly it's not people that love freedom. It's people that want power over you and me, and they want gain. So we need to fight back against that.
Brian, they say black-owned businesses are basically going to be closing and are closed already twice as fast as white businesses, if not triple.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's exactly right. And I think Eldon made a good, you know, that's exactly the, you know, what he commented on. It's sad. I mean, they allow these big businesses to kind of come in and they give them the tax breaks and they give them all perhaps the land to build their buildings on and so on. And yet the small business, is the lifeblood of the country, or the, you know, it's kind of like the farmer, the same kind of thing, the lifeblood of our country. And we want to subsidize them. We don't want you to grow anything on your land. We'll bring it in from other countries. They just, you know, little by little, they take away from all of us and force us into kind of, okay, well, we got to support these big corporations who really, you know, yeah, they do some, I guess, give back a little to the community. They can show that, but they get all this, free money, I guess, to build these places and tax subsidies. It just,
it doesn't help us. Their agenda really isn't for what makes America great. It's kind of a world thing, and I guess jumping back into socialism is what our agenda is of our government, and we got to fight against that.
I don't know how to feel because it's hard to tell people not to take the money, because when their ability to make money is shut down, what else are they to do, Eldon? And this is really a forced, if you're not going to go into socialism willingly, we're going to force you into it. It's kind of the narrative that's taking place here. And if we think that the origins of the coronavirus are from a lab, the next question must be asked, was it by accident leaked or on purpose leaked? And they don't want us to go there and discuss this, but I think it's relevant when you see what Fauci did to cover up and lie and misrepresent. The emails prove a whole different narrative than we are told for over a year. You got to start to ask these questions, and then you got to say, are they destroying the economy on purpose if it was intentionally leaked? I mean, you can't avoid these questions, can you?
No, you can't. You need to be able to ask the questions and try to do an honest effort at getting answers to them. Will we ever know the answers to them? I don't know, but hopefully we do. The evidence, unfortunately, more and more indicates that there's a massive propaganda campaign that's been going on to try to remake our society and scare people into giving up their liberties in the name of security. And that's something that should be very troubling to people and motivating people to say, you know what, we need to take action against this. We need to turn off the mainstream news, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, because it just has become such blatant propaganda that more and more people are waking up to, fortunately. And that's the kind of the silver lining on this, is people are saying, you know what, this is just ridiculous. We've got to back away from these people that are trying to run our lives and convince us that socialism is the cure to everything.
And it's almost impossible to guard against, because people that are good people that I know that don't really want to be on the dole, they're just like, listen, I either take the money or my business flat out folds, or I either take the money or I can't pay my mortgage, mm-hmm. When they automatically deposit the money in my account, I don't dare fight to return it, because what if I fight to return it and then they claim I got it on my tax return, and then I'm not only forced to try to return the money, but then forced to fight it later if they claim that I got the money, even though I returned it, and then I got to prove it, and so I might as well just take the money and... people are left with no, we're into forced socialism, Brian.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think a lot of the younger generation are looking at that and say, hey, this is free money. We can travel, we can go off for a month or two and just live this joyous ride kind of thing. So that they're diving into that big time, and they're kind of taking that. And those who are perhaps on, those in the depths or whatever, that they look at it like, hey, free money. Maybe I don't have to work three jobs. I can maybe get rid of one of my jobs. And actually, what is it also? I mean, the workforce. I mean, we're trying to find workforce. Well, hey, if they're paying them free money, they don't have to work. And that's causing issues as well. But it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And it's not helping at all, and it's just, okay, well, let's just print more money. So that adds to the debt. And obviously, my business, if I can't balance my sheets or my expenses and so on, I'm out of business. But boy, I'll tell you, if the government can continue to spend, they just free money. We can do whatever we want and control whatever we need.
Yeah, the cocoa's racist, isn't it? Literally attacking black businesses, whatever, or whoever created the economic spiral downwards is certainly racist, attacking black businesses much more than white, and it's very strange indeed. But there's only one way to call a halt to the con game, Brian. Answer, honest money.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, what's Rhodium sitting at? Is Kirk Cosby getting richer or poorer, sir?
That's right. We wouldn't have all these huge...
Go ahead, Eldon.
We wouldn't have all these huge stimulus bills if the government weren't able to just print money out of thin air, would we?
No, and that's kind of my point. There's only one way to call a halt to the con game, and that would be to chain them down with a constitution, folks. But the problem is when you get more and more, it was Mitt Romney that said half the country's already on the dole back 10 years ago or something like that. I can't remember the exact, 9 years ago. Anyway, and they mocked him for it, but it's true then, and now it's even worse. I mean, pretty much 90% of the nation on the dole after the cocoa. So I don't know how you're going to back out and move to honest money. The people will demand different at this point. I hate to say it, Eldon, but I think it might be true.
Yeah. Well, because we're difficult, of course, that much more difficult. The Alexander Teitler, you might remember a quote from him. He's from British Isles, and he said that democracies fail because once people figure out that they can vote themselves money from the public treasury, they do, and they become addicted to that. So it's very hard to get people weaned off of that without a change in the way people think.
Yes, indeed. Brian, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, you know, good comment. I like, you know, Ezra Taft Benson, he said that our challenge is to keep America strong, free, strong economically, and and above all, strong spiritually if our way of life is to endure.
Amen to that. And I believe this nation will endure, so I don't believe it's a never-ending problem or that we can never do well. It's going to be a rough road to hoe, though, I can promise you that. Ladies and gentlemen, you never get out of these things easily. So it's going to take a serious, it's kind of like, compare it to an alcoholic a little bit. You're going to have to, you know, quit taking another swig from the economic bottle of false prosperity. You're going to have to face the music and deal with this thing. And until we, the people, are ready to do that, I submit to you that it's going to do nothing but get worse. Eldon.
Right. It's very true. We all have to take responsibility for this. We can't just say, well, somebody else will do it, or it's too unpleasant, or it's too confusing. We need to take responsibility to find out the principles behind all what's happening, what we can do about it, find out, get good, learn how to be an activist, learn how to contact our congressmen and influence others, because if we don't, there are plenty of people we know that are scheming, planning, plotting to undermine our liberties in all manner of ways.
Brian, where's rhodium sitting?
It's a 23,008. It's up about $2,500.
Yeah, Kurt's doing all right, man. His garage full of rhodium.
Right.
Doing okay. That's good news. I like to hear that because I was getting worried that he might be going broke, you know.
There you go.
So the folks that are involved in Bitcoin are going broke, but if you had invested in rhodium now, like Kurt's telling you to, you'd be all right.
That's right. You got it. Absolutely.
Just imagine how much, let's see, $25,000 an ounce, right?
Yeah, sitting around 23.8.
All right. So, you know, 5 ounces of that stuff, 100 grand, a little over. You know, 50 ounces of that thing. I mean, you're talking about, what, 4 pounds, basically, right?
Yeah.
3 pounds, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact number. I haven't figured it out. But just 4 pounds. And that thing would store in a pretty small area, too. You'd have, big money? $1 million?
Yeah.
Little teeny 4-pound kind of block. There's my million, you know.
Sits right there next to his honey.
That dude in a little teeny, safety deposit box or something?
Yeah, there you go.
In your house, in your basement, somewhere where nobody can find the safe, right?
Yeah,
so
Kurt
got a lot of money, ladies
and gentlemen.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Kurt's dug a hole in the farm. You have a map that takes you out to his rhodium.
That's right. And if he's smart, he's put his rhodium in 5 or 6 places. And that way, if somebody discovers one place, he can say, that's all I got.
Right.
And then they'd be like, don't lie to me like I'm Judge Judy. And then go off like that and see if they can intimidate him into giving up the rest, you know? All right, our prayers are with Kurt and the safety of the rhodium and that the economy doesn't tank, but I predict if we continue on the same course, it indeed will. We're going to let Brian Rust, RustCoinGift.com, fly. Thank you for your service, my friend. And we're going to continue with Eldon Saul.
Thanks,
Brian.
You
all right, Eldon, stay right there, ladies and gentlemen. The man that promotes the JBS with us on your radio. We're going to talk about an incredible special issue of The New American, an incredible series of understandings about Save the Children. We're going to talk about the 60th year anniversary celebration as well. I'm telling you right now, The New American, one of the premier defending liberty organizations. And I got a personal story about the JBS. I'll tell you in seconds as well next hour. Sam and Eldon Stahl continue on your radio. God save the Republic of the United States of America.